Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You are listening to us on Home of Southern Sports, WQEE, 99.1 FM, The Key, based out of Noonan, Georgia. I've had a fun time airing Georgia Alabama Sports Live shows. Thrip Barringer and I have put out some great content with great guests. And I'm going to air part one of the Georgia-Alabama Sports Live show that we did last night. So you're going to get that. But there are some sports that I do want to talk about here on the show, including Reggie Bush getting his Heisman Trophy back. Well-deserved. And is USC going to get their national championship back from 2004? I don't know. We'll see. The Braves walk it off once again. This is starting to become a pattern as they sweep the Marlins, but they get ready for the Cleveland Guardians on Friday at Truist Park. And today is the NFL draft. The Chicago Bears are on the clock. Let's go ahead and get right into the show. I'm actually going to start this show talking about high school baseball because we have got high school baseball playoffs. The regular season is officially over, and Pacelli, Brookstone, they will start the high school baseball playoffs next week. Pacelli was able to sweep Strong Rock Christian earlier today in Locust Grove. They are the number two seed in the region. Brookstone defeated Heritage out of Noonan 10-4. Brookstone is the number one team in the region. And we've got playoff games coming up for you. The Columbus Blue Devils advance to the second round where they will face Mary Persons next week. You got high school baseball playoffs today, including the game that we are going to be at for Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Doubleheader starting at 5. It's the first round of the AISA baseball playoffs between the Glenwood Gators and Morgan Academy. Over in the GHSA, you got Troup County traveling down to Columbus to face Shaw. This is the second year in a row that the Shaw Raiders have hosted playoff games in the first round. Hardaway has got a tough matchup against Stars Mill. Stars Mill, 22-2 on the season. They're one of the best teams in the state. LaGrange is taking on Bainbridge at the Branch. Come on out to the Branch and check out the LaGrange Grangers, a team that has gone to the state championship the past two seasons, but they have finished in second place behind Stars Mill in their region. You got Whitewater that's taking on the Syrup Makers of Cairo. And then the Northside Patriots, who forced a game three yesterday against the number one seed Ola Mustangs out of McDonough. Northside was able to win game two 9-1 to force the game three. Harris County season came to an end as they lose to Locust Grove in the first round of the playoffs. And Jordan loses to Toombs County in the first round of the playoffs. Central is taking on Prattville in the first round of the AHSAA playoffs. And you got Calvary Christian taking on Johnson Ferry Christian Academy on Friday in the first round of the GAPS playoffs. We'll try to get you score updates when we broadcast these games on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. We are going to be there at Calvary on Friday for the matchup between Johnson Ferry Christian Academy. All right, let's transition from high school baseball to professional baseball, as the Atlanta Braves, they get the sweep over the Marlins. They win it in walk-off fashion, 4-3 in 10 innings. Are you kidding me? Michael Harris II doubled in center. Ronald Acuna Jr. scores the winning run. The Atlanta Braves are 17-6. They got a day off today, and they will take on the Cleveland Guardians, who's also got a good record. They're 17-7. It's going to be a matchup between the best record in the National League percentage points wise and the best record in the American League percentage points wise. And looking forward to a great matchup with the Cleveland Guardians this weekend. And come on out to Truist Park if you haven't catched a Braves game, as it is always fun. And the Atlanta Braves look like they're going to make a deep run getting ready for the World Series. NBA playoffs last night. The Oklahoma City Thunder take a 2-0 series lead on the New Orleans Pelicans. And I think that even though the Thunder have the number one overall seed, I still think they're going to struggle. Whoever comes out of that playoff matchup between the Dallas Mavericks and the Clippers, because I think that's going to go seven games, that's going to be a tough matchup for the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Miami Heat got the upset of the playoffs so far. 111-101 over the Boston Celtics. It goes 1-1 back to Miami. They steal home court as Tyler Hero, who had a terrible game one, comes out and scores 24 points. And this is good coaching. This is Coach Eric Spoelstra making the adjustments, not having Jimmy Butler. They might not have him for the rest of the playoffs. And the Miami Heat steal home court and they bring it back to Miami, tied at one apiece. This is a very busy sports day. We got the NFL draft, but we also have playoff action in the National Basketball Association. The Cavaliers going down to Orlando. They're up 2-0. They're trying to go up 3-0, and I would not be shocked if they swept the series. They're just better than the Magic, and the Magic lack the playoff experience. So you got the Knicks taking on the 76ers in Philly. New York is up 2-0, and this should be 1-1 going back to Philly. But I think that Philly is going to respond. They're playing at home. They'll make the adjustments. Joel Embiid is going to get his. Tyrese Maxey. I'm really liking the play of Josh Hart. He has been a very good complimentary piece to Jalen Brunson. How are the Knicks doing this? Well, I mean, they do have size in the middle with OG Anunoby. He was the player they got from the Toronto Raptors when they shipped off RJ Barrett. I liked RJ Barrett, but he just didn't fit the culture of the New York Knicks. And then Isaiah Hartenstein, the 7-foot center. I mean, he's starting to get some valuable minutes. I mean, this is a big man that's filling the role of Julius Randle because he's out for the season. And this is a coach team by Tom Thibodeau. The Knicks are playing tough, and I would love to see the New York Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals, but they got to get past the Sixers first, and then that second round matchup either between Milwaukee or the Pacers. I think that the Knicks can coast to the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's talk about the Lakers and the Nuggets, because the Lakers were up by 20 against the Nuggets, and they just ran out of gas. My takeaway on the Lakers is they're just too old, and they don't have big-time wing defenders that can hit a three in their prime, and they just have inconsistency between Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell. They're not getting the job done. LeBron and AD are getting theirs. They're having fantastic series, but I think that they need some side. Jared Vanderbilt's still going to be out. Cam Reddish, Christian Wood, they're all going to be out. I'm looking at the injury report. You got to find a way to slow down Nikola Jokic. He can have a bad half, and yet still the Nuggets can win because Jamal Murray has got ice water in his veins. Reggie Bush gets his Heisman Trophy back, and I am excited about Reggie Bush. He has been one of the greatest college football players of all time. In my lifetime, 20 years ago, he stole the show at USC. He was just unstoppable. Had a decent NFL career, but he mainly was the best college football player of all time. Gets his Heisman Trophy back after forfeiting it 14 years ago. This is long overdue. With NIL and everything that's going on in the landscape of college football, why did you take away his Heisman? It did not make any sense at the time. And maybe it took a rant from Johnny Manziel on the Club Shay Shay podcast for the Heisman voters and the committee to finally get it right. And there's a lot of reaction in the sports world to him getting the Heisman Trophy back, and it's a lot of good reaction. They really feel like he never should have got his Heisman Trophy taken away. All right, the NFL draft is tonight. The Chicago Bears are on the clock. I think they get Caleb Williams. I had my mock draft on Monday. I'm not going to have my mock draft again, but I would not be shocked if the Chargers trade down from the number 5 pick. I think that with Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., Spencer Rattler, all these quarterbacks that have got some upside, nobody knows. Seriously, nobody knows who is going to be a Pro Bowler, a Hall of Famer, or a bust. You look at 2021, and Trevor Lawrence is not a perfect quarterback, but he was the best sure prospect in the 2021 NFL draft. You still have guys like Justin Fields and Trey Lance and Mac Jones. We don't know how good any of these quarterbacks are. Maybe Mac Jones has hit his ceiling, but you look at Caleb Williams, the most sure prospect since Trevor Lawrence, but the Chicago Bears haven't had luck with quarterbacks. They haven't had a 4,000-yard passer since, I don't even know when. Maybe their last great quarterback was in the 1930s with Sid Luckman. Jim McMahon was a good quarterback, but let's be reasonable here. The 85 Bears and that defense carried that team to a Super Bowl win, and they had Walter Payton, one of the greatest running backs of all time. Caleb Williams is dynamic. The Bears have weapons. You look at their weapons, getting Keenan Allen. You've got DJ Moore. They might pick another wide receiver with the multiple picks they have in the first round. The big mystery is, can Washington figure out their quarterback situation with a guy like Jaden Daniels? And how will Drake May do with the Patriots? I do feel the first three picks in this draft are going to be quarterbacks, and the next player taken off the board is going to be a wide receiver. It's going to be Marvin Harrison Jr., and that is going to be a matchup nightmare in the NFC West. Well, it's official. Amon St. Brown, the wide receiver for the Detroit Lions, is the highest paid NFL player in history as the Detroit Lions ink him up for a long-term deal. He has been just an electric player for the Detroit Lions, and part of the reason why the Detroit Lions got to where they were and they were able to get to the NFC Championship is because of the culture they have established with a player like Amon St. Brown. So very well deserved. I expect the Detroit Lions not only to make the playoffs next year, but to probably compete and maybe even go to a Super Bowl. And that should make 49ers fans a little nervous. But, you know, they still got to play teams like the Packers, and Jordan Love is going to get better. And I don't know what's going to go on with the Vikings. Maybe they pick a quarterback. The Chicago Bears with Caleb Williams, that's going to be a big mystery. But who knows? But congratulations to Amon St. Brown getting that lucrative contract, well-deserved. Now Brandon Ayuk has got to be licking his chops because the 49ers now know what the market is for a wide receiver, and hopefully they can ink Brandon Ayuk to a long-term deal. I hope so. I hope they get this done because they realize how valuable Brandon Ayuk was last year. But here's some of the terms of the deal. So you got Amon St. Brown. 4-year, $120 million contract extension. And that's for a guy that has really been productive. He's only 24 years old. 119 catches and over 1,500 yards last year with 10 touchdowns. So we know what the market is for these type of players. And I expect Brandon Ayuk to get paid. All right, so next week on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, I plan on going 5 days a week, but each day I will dedicate the day to two high schools, I'm going to do two-a-days as we gear up for spring practices in the month of May. And then we got spring games for high school football all over the Chattahoochee Valley. And I'm going to give you a little tease. Monday, I'm going to preview the upcoming season and recap the 2023 season for the Central Red Devils, led by their head coach Patrick Nix, and the Carver Tigers, led by their head coach Pierre Coffey. Monday, I will start my two-a-days with Central and Carver, the two most prestigious football programs in the Chattahoochee Valley that has put more players in the NFL than any high school in the Chattahoochee Valley. That is going to be Monday as we gear up for spring practices, and I'm hoping to have some football coaches on as well. I reached out to Calvary Christian head football coach Emmanuel Brunson. I'm going to try to get him on the show, and then any other football coaches out there that want to get on the show in the next couple of weeks as you got spring practices going on, just message me, and I'll try to get you here on the Sports Beat. Right now, we're going to go ahead and take a break and go pay some bills. But when we come back, I'm going to air part one of the Georgia-Alabama Sports Live Show that Thrip Aaron and I did yesterday. You don't want to go anywhere. It is the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia-Alabama Sports Live, and we'll be right back.
Yeah! Stick around.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Georgia-Alabama Sports Live Show. I'm Thrip Behringer, alongside my partner in crime, Richard Holdridge.
What's up?
To you by Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC. What do they always say, Richard?
Get ready to smile.
We appreciate them and all our supporters. We had an excellent show Monday. Thank you again to Tom Callahan, the voice of the Columbus River Dragons, for joining us. They got huge playoff games they start Friday on the road, then Saturday and Sunday are at home against the rival Carolina. Winner goes to the championship. Then thank you to AJ Kehoe, 35-3 Central Red Devils. Richard, woo, you talk about loaded. They have been absolutely phenomenal. They're ranked number 7 in the country, and they look like a team right now that is destined for a state championship. Thank you to him. And thank you to Rick Beach and Tony Dimitri of Harris County. We'll give updates about what happened. Several teams played yesterday in the playoffs. We got several teams playing tomorrow. Today's show, Richard, we got some great guests coming on again. I told you, we're trying to hit every team that's making the playoffs this year and has a chance to win a state. We're going to have on Steve Smith, athletic director and head baseball coach of the Calvary Christian Knights. They head into the Gaps playoffs as the number 2 seed. I'm going to give my gripe and see if Coach Smith, I know how he is. He's probably politically correct. He's going to say all the right things, but it's a travesty that they're the number 2 seed. We'll get into that. Also, Glenwood's coach, Tim Fanning, as the number 1 overall ranked AISA Gators, looking like the favorite to win the 3A state championship. Back-to-back would be that, and that'd be number 10. For Coach Tim Fanning. He'll have a ring for every single finger on his hands. We'll have him, and we're hoping we get Chad Mathis after their big-time playoff victory as they head into the second round. Richard, how you doing, man?
Doing great, Thrift. I'm excited. We got high school baseball playoffs. We've got action going tomorrow, Friday, possibly Saturday, and then next week, and I'm just excited that with everything going on in the world of sports. I mean, we got some big sports stories that dropped. I know we were talking before coming on the show. Did you know Reggie Bush is going to get his Heisman back? How about that?
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And we'll talk about that, I promise you. We're also dropping our high school baseball ratings.
Drum roll, please. Oh, yeah.
Come on now. It's our final one of the regular season. And then we won't do it again until the end of playoffs. So looking forward to drop that. Got some shakers. We got some movers.
We made some surprises. I actually sent you the ratings. We kind of discussed it. There's a team that surprised everybody, and they've never made the list up to now. And so I'm excited about featuring this team on our ratings for the first time this season.
I am too, Richard. And it's going to be a lot of fun dropping those. We'll talk a little NBA playoffs. Richard will give his Who Cares mock draft. Top 5, if he can, players that's going to happen tomorrow, because everyone's dropping their mock drafts, and I call it the who cares. I know Todd McShay and Mel Kiper made a living off of it, but I have
a lot of fun.
I care. It is fun, but I don't care. And we're going to do ours just for fun. We'll do that at the end of the show. But without further ado, I don't want to keep our guest waiting too long because he's got a huge playoff matchup to get prepared for here in the next couple of days. It's really good friend of mine first, then the athletic director of Calvary that's just taking them places they probably never thought they'd go, and head baseball coach who's won several state championships. He has one for every finger on one of his hands. It is Steve Smith. Thank you so much for joining us, Coach.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate you having us on.
All right, Coach, let's go ahead and get into it. Let's talk about – we're going to talk about the season as a whole. And in years past, Coach, especially last year, you had a lot of great victories around against local teams. It was an incredible year for you last year. And because of that, you returned a majority of your players. You came in as a favorite in the gaps, obviously. And one of the best teams in the state of Georgia throughout the middle of the season. Then – you had injuries. You had a 10-day layoff because games got canceled because of the rain. We had so much rain this season. Talk about having to overcome that to finish, I think, on a high note these last four or five games. What did that mean to you during that little stretch? Because it seemed like you had a lot of adversity you had to go overcome this year, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the season, when we first met, I kind of told you what I thought our potential blind spot was our pitching depth. And, mm-hmm. and through the first part of the season, when everything was kind of clicking, we were 13-1, feeling pretty good about things. And, no one's going to feel bad for us. You know, we've gone through a really tough stretch, arguably the toughest stretch that we've gone through in my 11 years. We're right about 500 since then. We've never really been a 500 team, but really what it's come down to is, we've had some injuries. We've had some key guys that we've had to kind of pull out of where they were currently at in terms of depth. And again, one of our concerns from the beginning was the depth of our pitching. And so it's put some other guys in some different roles that we didn't necessarily anticipate they were going to have to be in this year. So there's been some growing pains for sure. And then you compound that with just some struggles offensively. And it's kind of put us at a point where we've just really had to kind of battle and grind through the second half of the season.
I don't know. And that's one thing I think coaches appreciate more than anything is overcoming adversity and finishing on a strong note. And the last three games, especially last week, beating Lakeside, beating Troup County and Northside, all teams that are making the playoffs, all teams that are really good baseball teams, you beat them. And then you did have a hiccup yesterday against Brookstone, but Brookstone's a really good team, Coach, and I know you know that. That's the top team in the GIAA. How do you feel about your team as you head into the playoffs? Do you feel like you're good? Do you feel like there's some things y'all need to work on as you head into the playoffs, especially, and we'll get into it in a moment, coming in as the number two seed in the gaps?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, there's a high level of frustration that I have right now. So there's I'm not gonna hide that. There's I've voiced that over the last 3 to 4 weeks. We've had spurts. We've just been pretty inconsistent where some games will really grind out at bats and really just do a good job of making sure that we're having quality at bats. And then we'll have other games where maybe the focus and the attention to detail hasn't necessarily been there. So today specifically, we focused on the little details of what have made us successful in the past. We've got to get back to throwing strikes. Yesterday, saying that we had a bump in the road is an understatement. You know, we just we were terrible yesterday on the mound, and there's not much you can do when you don't throw strikes. Good teams make you pay, and Brookstone is a quality team. They're gonna, in my opinion, that one seed inside of GIA is valid. That's they're gonna give everybody all that they can take. You throw strikes and, baseball games are a little bit different when you take care of the baseball, when you throw strikes and you just grind out at bats. And that's what we're lacking on a consistent basis. When we do it, we have success, which is clear. And when we don't, we're a 500 baseball team. So we've got a really, you would think at this point in the season, you like to think that once you go through the grind of the middle of the season, that you've really kind of found your offensive identity. We're still searching for it. And that's a frustrating part on my part from the pitching side. We've got the highest ERA in our in the last 11 years. So we're just not throwing real well right now. But we better figure some things out real quick if we want to have the success that we hope to have going into the postseason.
Coach, you're 21-8, undefeated against GAPS teams, 6-0 in the region. You're taking on Johnson Ferry Christian Academy this Friday for a doubleheader. Hopefully you won't have to play a game on Saturday because you get the two games there, you'll be able to advance. But what is the preparation going into the GAPS playoffs, and how important was it to play tougher competition at the GHSA level, like 7A, 6A, 5A schools, and also some talented GIAA schools as well, getting prepared for the final year in the GAPS in quest for that sixth straight title?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the schedule that we played this year, will definitely, I believe, will help us prepare for the postseason. I don't think we're, the first two rounds, a good portion of our schedule, we feel like, we've played that competition or better all season long. It's all about the preparation for there. Like I said, the biggest thing is just, playing clean baseball. If we play clean baseball and we play like we're capable of, we're going to have a lot of success in the postseason. If we don't, we can be beat. We've been beat by teams this year that were not better than us. And that's the part that's extremely frustrating. Our hope is that, some of our pieces that have been out, our cleanup hitter has been out for about 2 weeks with a hand injury. Two of our top pitchers, the two guys that we thought were at the top of our rotation coming into the season, they've only thrown one time in about the last 20-something days. So, that's just what it has done is created opportunities for other guys. So for right. Going forward, and you look at even next year, it's really allowed us to get an opportunity to see some other guys. But in terms of this year, it really has been it's been a challenge. It's probably cost us close to five, six wins this year. Where you're looking at a completely different view of the season. If we remain healthy. But again, that's part of baseball, and that's part of coaching, is you got to figure out a way to overcome that. And again, there's never been a season that we've won a state championship that we didn't have to overcome some major adversity at some point. So this is just another thing that we've got to overcome.
Yeah, Coach, you know how much I respect you, respect your knowledge of the game. It is incredible talking with you about the game of baseball. But I thought you've done a great job with this team this year, especially the 10-day layoff. I mean, that's out of your control. You talk about the balls and strikes. Yeah, that's stuff that y'all can't control and get better at. But the 10-game layoff and having not played baseball for a while, and then having to play Pacelli, who's having a phenomenal year after that long layoff. I mean, I know that's frustrating, and that's stuff that, a lot of teams I know sometimes had to deal with, but specifically y'all, it seemed like you had the worst luck during that stretch. I do want to say this, Coach, and I don't expect you to comment, but I think it's a travesty that they do the max preps thing like the GIAA does, and I don't know how in God's green earth they have King's Academy as the number one seed or the strength of schedule, whatever they do in their process. I looked at the schedule compared to yours. It's not even close. And the fact that you're a five-time defending state champion, that you haven't lost a playoff game or a GAPS game in years, yet you're the number two seed, blows my mind. And I don't understand. The only reason I'm making a big deal about it, because if you play the King's Academy, you're going to have to go to Woodstock now. So in the back of your head, I know you take it one playoff week at a time, but do you have any frustration when it comes to that, knowing like the way the pitching's going, that, you know what, if we just have an off night, King's Academy could have an upset and we should be hosting this series?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's the frustration of not being able to host at the end of the year. I mean, this actually, to be honest with you, it's the first time in probably 10 years that we haven't been the number one seed at any point in the season. Wow. I don't take offense to it. Here's the deal. We haven't played well. We've put ourselves in this position. You know, if we win two or three of those games, it's not even a question. And we're well over where they're at. They're 21-2 or 22-2. You can definitely argue the strength of schedule. But here's the deal. You take care of business and you control everything. And, yep. And we have not done that. And so, you know, it, to me, it's fuel. I've told our guys, like, we're not the best team in gaps right now. Like, we're not. And we haven't played like it. We haven't played like we're one of the best teams, in my opinion, in the area. So, and you can definitely hear my frustration. This is about as frustrated as I've been in a really long time. And I really just want to see, will our guys rise up and will they receive the challenge that's been put in front of them? Or are we going to continue to do what we've done, over the last couple of months, which is just kind of played, 500 baseball. We have 500 team. And as our record over the last month and a half, is that accurate? Or are we going to find our identity and really be able to put together another special run?
Coach, I want to talk about Bailey Thorne. Last year, he hit 16 home runs. This year, he's got 12. He looks like he is going to get some offers if he hasn't had any offers already. But what type of prospect is Bailey Thorne at the next level? Are major league scouts looking at Bailey, or is he going to try to go the college route before he gets drafted in the MLB draft?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Bailey had an exceptional season last year. Arguably, you could say, a couple different polls had him in the, second team All-American, and he's kind of in that, that kind of makeup just in terms of the season that he had last year. It's really, in my opinion, kind of unfair to him, the expectations that are put on him. I mean, you look at the season he had last year, he led the nation in home runs and in RBIs, batted over 500. That's really hard to duplicate. When you look at the season he's having, he's still batting over 450, the 12 home runs, almost 40 RBIs. He's in the top 10 in home runs and RBIs in the country right now. As far as offers, he received several offers throughout the whole summer. He made a decision kind of early on that he was going to go to Gulf Coast. He's already committed there. He's had several pro teams come and watch him throughout the season. We'll see how that kind of develops. That puts an enormous amount of pressure on a young man when there's that amount of eyes on you. And I think he's handled it really well. He's going through some things right now where just the consistency that is starting to kind of take shape with him. He went through a little bit of a tough stretch, but he's starting to come out of that and has had some really clutch at bats for us. But in my mind, he's one of the top two-way players in the country. And really, I think what he's going to do when he goes to Gulf Coast, he's really going to kind of solidify himself as a future professional baseball player. He's got the right makeup for it. He's got the skill set. Obviously, he's got some things that he's got to continue to refine, as does every other player. But he's a special one to watch. We've had a lot of great players that have come through that have gone on to play Division I baseball, several guys that we think are going to get an opportunity when their careers wrap up to play at the professional level. But, he's arguably been the best player that we've had come through. And really, statistically, it's not close. So we're really excited about what his future looks like. We're hoping that we can send him off with another state championship.
No doubt about it, Coach. And we are presented by Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC, talking with head baseball coach of Calvary and athletic director Steve Smith. Coach, I think Cam Houston, who is your shortstop, has had a fantastic year this year. I want you to talk a little bit about him and anyone else that has been a pleasant surprise for your team this year.
Yeah, Cam really stepped up this year. This has been, he followed up a really strong season from last year. He shows the versatility of whenever Bailey is pitching, he plays shortstop. When Bailey's playing short, he can play third, he plays center, he plays right. He's done a little bit of everything for us, and he's been our leadoff hitter for a good portion of the season. Tommy Irving's been another guy. Like I said, he was in our cleanup spot, right before he hurt his hand a couple of weeks ago. He's almost batting 400 and it was, just has strong quality at bats all the time. And we've really missed him kind of the middle of the lineup. Bryson Brooks has really come on late struggled early on in the season and has had some really clutch hits for us, hit a home run, against Glenwood and had some really, tough at bats. As we've kind of gone through some of these, the tough stretch of the season, Carson Ward really has kind of filled into kind of that number one on the mound in terms of just taking the ball every single week and giving us good innings. You know, so there's a lot of different guys. We've had, you know, Drew Seville has stepped up in relief, and you know, several guys just up and down the lineup. We've started to mix in some of our sophomores. Liam Hocut and Jackson Kennedy have started to get some opportunities as other guys have kind of struggled. You know, so up and down, you can look at several guys that at different times during the season, they've made some strong contributions. Our biggest thing is really getting everyone going at the same time and being able to just keep that lineup moving. And that's what we're really struggling with right now. But those guys have kind of really stepped up and had some big performances for us.
That Northside game, it was electric. I wouldn't really particularly care about talking about what happened, you know, after the game, but it was electric. It was what baseball should represent around here. I like the animosity. I like that stuff. I know you do too, Coach. You feed off of that. So it was fantastic. I honestly, if we had to vote for atmosphere of the year, I definitely would put that number one. And then all the home runs. And, Richard, it was a fantastic game. Coach, you got to pick one this Friday. Tell everyone what time the game starts, where they can get tickets. And then also, you know, we're going to be live for both of them here on Georgia Alabama Sports Live.
Yeah, so just a second, what you said, that was a great environment. It was electric. It was fun to be a part of. Obviously, it's a whole lot more fun when you finish the game and you win.
Right.
But, you know, we've had several of those games this year just with some of the local teams where it's been really exciting to be a part of. You know, playoffs start this Friday. We're actually going to play our middle school state championship right before we go into the quarterfinals. So our middle school will play New Creation for – this will be their sixth state championship if they're able to come up with that.
Wow.
They will play at 2:00. And then after that, we start our varsity quarterfinals versus Johnson Ferry starting at 5:00. And then 30 minutes after game one, we'll roll into game two.
Tickets are very affordable. It's an awesome atmosphere. And, Coach, you know, we cannot wait to be talking with you. And hopefully here in the next 3 weeks, we'll be talking with you again on this show about winning another state championship. Thank you so much, Coach, and look forward to seeing you on Friday.
Thank you, guys. I always appreciate it.
That is Coach Steve Smith, athletic director of the Calvary Christian Knights. We're going to take a quick break from one great AD head baseball coach to another. It is Coach Tim Fanning. We're going to have him on right after these quick messages from Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC. Get ready to smile.
You're watching right now the Georgia Alabama Sports Live Show that is presented by Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC. Get ready to smile. We'll be right back after this.
Glenn Smith, GMC, and Opelika invite you to discover extraordinary deals like this powerful all-new GMC Sierra 1500 Pro, now up to $12,500 off. Purchase the roomy GMC Terrain SLT, discounted up to $8,750 off. And the GMC Acadia with three-row seating, discounted up to $6,000 off. Enjoy no payments till summertime at Glenn Smith GMC. Over 300 new and used vehicles on the lot or on the way. Get ready to smile.
Welcome back, everyone. As Richard Holder just smiling as we get back, he loves that commercial, baby. And I love this next guy. Let's go ahead and bring him on. It is the head baseball coach, athletic director, my former coach, someone that I've looked up to since I was a young buck as a Glenwood Gator, Coach Tim Fanning. Coach, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, shoot. Thanks for having me, man. I'm glad that I could, you know, be a part of y'all's show. I love what y'all do for high school sports in this area. It's been long overdue, and I just hope that everyone appreciates the work that y'all been putting in for all these schools around here.
I appreciate you saying that, Coach. You know, it means a lot. And, you know, we're going to be live streaming tomorrow, quarterfinals. Can't wait. We're going to be going the whole Calvary run, the whole Glenwood run, just like we did last year. So, Coach, let's talk about this team. Last year's team did some historic stuff, ranked top nationally, went 45-4 around
46-4.
Yeah, 46-4. Yeah. I knew it was four. I couldn't get the wins, but an incredible run, Coach. You beat a lot of great teams in this area. It was one of the more dominant Glenwood baseball teams that I can remember. I don't care what league that team was in. That team was winning state championships in majority of the leagues around here. But then you come in this year with a lot of expectations and you got off to a little bit of a slow start. So talk about the maturing process and your team growing from that your first couple of weeks, which you struggled, to now where they're at right now.
Well, I mean, we kind of figured that was going to be the case. When you lose 12 seniors and 10 of them go to the next level, and, you know, we only returned two players that had any experience on the field, you know, significant experience in the lineup, you know what I mean? So one was a full-time starter, one was a part-time starter. So if you want to look at it that way, it's one and a half, you know what I mean? So we knew that, you know, our sophomore group was extremely talented. We had guys that were juniors last year that, you know, they were good players. They just never got to play because we were so good, right? So it just happens. And you know, thankfully for us, we have that type of program where, you know, it's not from year to year. You know, you got guys in line to play, and sometimes they just have to wait to play. So even the guys that were, you know, what people would look at, you know, juniors and seniors or whatever, they still didn't have experience. You know what I mean? So it's one thing to watch someone play. It's another thing to play, right? So, and I think it just, you know, we had a couple guys that were dinged up from basketball as well, like, you know, some of our top arms. So that played a factor as well. But what that did mean is a lot of young guys got to play real early too in those struggles to start with. So I think it paid dividends for us down the road. But yeah, I mean, I really just going into the season, we were meeting as a staff, you know, I told them it would, you know, I felt like it would take 20 games for us to, you know, get our sea legs, so to speak. And you know, it didn't take quite that long, but it did take us about 20 games to figure out our identity and what we were doing and how to be varsity baseball players and in our program and what that means and the responsibilities that carries and how to carry themselves and how to deal with the failure of stepping up a level and, you know, not having a great day. You know what I mean? So, it's been fun, honestly. I mean, I've had to coach a lot more, you know, obviously than the last couple of years. We've been, you know, extremely good and talented and old, you know what I mean? So you're more of a manager and trying to, you know, manage expectations and things like that. But this year it's just, you know, just rolled sleeves up and really got to sink our teeth into some great young players and you know, coach and teach.
Coach, the team is playing their best baseball going into the playoffs. You did have a slow start, but you got big wins, taking 2 out of 3 against Lee Scott, sweeping Springwood. I think you guys outscored him like 50-something to nothing. It was just incredible. You play Morgan Academy tomorrow, doubleheader. Looking at the bracket, Lee Scott is in the other side of the bracket. So there's a chance. I don't even think, what, is Clark Prep the number one seed over on the other side of the bracket, Coach?
That's correct. That's correct. So if Lee Scott wins this week, then they would go to Clark Prep in the semifinals.
And then if you're able to beat Morgan Academy, you'll play the winner of Bessemer and Macon East. Bessemer is the home team. Macon East, you faced in the championship last season. What does the competition look like in the AISA, and how is this team stack up with the remaining teams in the quarterfinals for the AISA?
Well, Lee Scott's. I mean, they're really good, and I think people are sleeping on Macon East. I think they got a very talented team too. You know, they lost a lot from last year too, a lot of their big hitters, but they got three guys on the mound that compete. And you know, in our series with them, I mean, they blanked us. They had a guy that really, he did a number on us when we went over there and beat us 2-0. So it wouldn't surprise me if they were to go on the road and beat Bessemer and be back here in the semifinals. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Bessemer, you know, they were kind of, you know, everyone was looking at them as a team that, you know, could challenge for a state championship. And I'm not saying they can't, you know, because they're there. They're, you know, hosting. But their number one's really good. I've seen him in person here at our Border Wars tournament. But I just think, you know, Macon East might have a little deeper pitching than they do. So I'm not sure about Clark Prep. We haven't played any of the teams in the West. Them, Morgan, you know, I haven't seen anything. only thing I know about Morgan is I hope Gunnar Henderson's that's in the big leagues, his brother's not as good as he is because he plays for Morgan. So he played at Morgan 4 years ago, and he was American League Rookie of the Year last year. I know we don't play anybody, but, you know, I'm just saying. So,
right.
He's a phenomenal player. I just hope his little brother's not as good as he was.
Well, Coach, I'm glad you made that bar, because I'm so sick of people talking about the Glenwood Gators, the dominant run, 9 championships. There's been so many great players that you've coached against. You've got 9 since your tenure. You're looking for number 10. But I know you take it one week at a time. I know how you are. You don't really focus on you and your legacy. Is you're going to be a future Chattahoochee Valley Hall of Famer. You already got one guy on your staff, and Coach Jesse Perdue, that got in this past year. But, Coach, what would it mean to you to finish out the Glenwood legacy in the AISA with 10 championships and what is it, 15, 20 years? It is some incredible number. How would that make you feel as you head into the AHSAA next year?
For me personally, I mean, it's not really about the number to me. It's about these young men understanding the responsibility of playing in the Glenwood baseball program. And that legacy is a big deal. Ever since I took over, I felt like that was an important thing for me to recognize and to pay tribute and to give its just due, because it is steeped in tradition, the baseball program here. And as you can see, when you look at our wall outside of our, you know, our stadium with all the guys that have gone to the next level. And I've shared this with you before, you know, I feel 53 years of, I don't know if pressure is not the right word, but that on my shoulders as far as us moving into the AHSA, because that is something that those players always wanted to do and never got the opportunity to do, you know what I mean? And it's not really about saying, you know, hey, we're going to go over there and, you know, we're going to show them who we are, whatever. Bottom line, one of the things that motivates me is I want more of the state to see how wonderful our kids are and share that with people that we've not been able to do that with. So obviously I would like to, you know, selfishly, you know, I'm from Columbus. I grew up in Columbus.
Yep.
I would love to have a relationship and be able to play Columbus High and Northside and Harris County, you know, especially like somebody like Columbus High. That was our biggest rival when I was at Jordan, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's just kind of a thing for me personally. You know, I would love to be able to have that relationship and play them every year. And, you know, making this transition allows us to do things like that. So, and then, you know, obviously in this area, it's so, so packed with talent and all these schools, and having the opportunity to be able to play Central and Russell County and Smith Station and all these guys around here that, I mean, all our kids, they all interact, they all know each other, they all play on the same travel ball teams, that, you know what I mean? So it's not like they're strangers, you know what I mean? So just having that opportunity is, we're really looking forward to that. But I would really love these kids to understand when you lose that kind of team, and then if you are able to figure out a way to make your own legacy, you know, not about the team before you, but your own legacy, I think that's a big thing. And you know, this is our state, and this is our association, and I don't think anybody can deny that with 23 state championships. So I would very much like to go out as a winner.
No doubt about it, Coach.
Coach, we know about the returning starters, Tyler Sykes and Mason McCrane, but what are some of the other players on the team that have stood out this year getting a starting role as they get into the playoffs?
Well, I mean, basically our whole outfield is new. You know, you got a senior in left field, Eli Bankston. I mean, man, kid. Oh, man, he's grown 5 inches, put on 40 pounds, like just Jeez. To see the transformation. I've unfortunately, he's the third brother. You know, I know them all, coached them all, you know what I mean, all those things, and a great family. And he broke the curse, man. He broke the curse. All his brothers, like, and his whole family, they never got big until they left high school, you know. They never hit that growth spurt. And he did, you know, and I'm so proud of him. And Cam White, you know him from his exploits on the football field and
yep.
and the basketball court, you know, and he just stepped right into center field and he's locked down out there.
Called a game with his dad.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's really turned the corner and has gotten hot at the end of the year and kind of figured some things out. And, you know, he's super athletic, man. God, he's super athletic. You know, they go out there and stretch and then they run off and he does a standing back tuck for the whole team, you know, and he just taught himself that, you know what I mean? And that's crazy to me, you know what I mean? But, you know, and then Hudson Campbell is a sophomore in right field. And, you know, he was one of those kids that, you know, struggled a little bit early, you know, and figuring out how to be a, you know, a varsity baseball player. And then on the infield, Jackson Griggs returns. He was really the only guy that started, you know, every game last year as a junior. And he's really solidified us at shortstop and kind of Logan Henderson has stepped up and I'm so proud of him. He really had to earn his spot and has had a great year. He's hitting over 400 and can bunt like nobody's business and has played great defense on the corners. You got Levi Pender, another guy, super talented, you know, a three-sport guy. He's actually second on the team in hitting, leading the team in RBIs. Carter Judah, he plays third and pitches as well, just like Levi. And he hits third in our lineup, and he's a sophomore. So that'll tell you how talented he is, you know what I mean? So, and we got another sophomore that has stepped up behind the plate, you know, and that's tough. You know, when you've basically got to handle a college pitching staff, I mean, because you got guys like Sykes and Mason McCrane and Levi Pender. And I mean, these guys throw the ball hard and they're, you know, breaking stuff is so good and so hard. I mean, it's tough, you know, and he has done an amazing job defensively for us behind the plate. And then, you know, Mason is, you know, what can you say, man? I mean, he's got like 8 home runs, 19 doubles, you know, 40 RBIs. He's hitting over 5. I mean, he's a legit, you know, draft prospect, you know, and anybody knows it when they walk in the park because you can just look at him and tell, you know. So it's been exciting for us for sure.
Coach, and it's been an awesome team to be able to watch grow. By the way, Carter Judah reminds me of a guy we know very similar. I know they play different positions, and I'm not saying they're the same player. I'm talking about what he's done his sophomore year. Reminds me a lot of Carson Bowers. He did the same thing, started on the football team. He was starting shortstop on a state championship team in 2009. It reminds me a lot of being – because I feel like Carter could be that leader for you here in the next 2 years, kind of like Carson was 2 years after learning under – all the guys like CBR, go Dudley Taylor back in the day. You see me. I sound like an alumni right now, don't I, Coach?
Yeah.
Talking about the Gators, though.
Brooks. Well, it's funny that you said that because I do see that kind of.
Do you?
Well, what we call it as a coach being, you know, G-rated, we call it piss and vinegar. Like he's got that. He's got that. And he does. He plays really hard. Like that is one thing you will never. Now, whether I'm getting on to him about doing this or that, a lot of it's just growing pains, you know. He never backs down like he is. He's all in, and, I mean, he plays the game with his hair on fire, and I love it.
I do too, Coach. All right, Brookstone's number one in GIAA. You beat them. Pacelli's ranked number two or three, depending on who you ask. You beat them. Calvary's ranked number one in GAPS, the favorite there, or number two in GAPS, but I don't want to get into that. They should be number one, and they're the favorite to win a state championship. You beat them. Right now, the private schools in this area, and then it's Central, are the best baseball programs this entire season. You beat everyone except for Central. You weren't allowed to play them this year. Talk about what that meant to be able to play against Brookstone, Pacelli, and Calvary, all guys that you respect, Coach, and you got the upper hand this year. And how that's going to lead you, in your opinion, to hopefully a successful playoff playing that tough schedule?
Well, I mean, you know, it always comes down to execution, right? And if we don't play well, you know, in our state playoffs, we'll lose, you know. But it helps us when we are able to play good teams, you know, and it's always going to help prepare you. That's, kind of the writing on the wall. Reason why, you know, moving to the AHSAA is, you know, fortunately for us, it's been a blessing. Like, we're on the Georgia line, and I have a lot of great relationships. And basically 75% of our schedule are Georgia schools.
Yeah. You
know what I mean? So playing those good programs, you know, it gets you ready for when, you know, the rubber meets the road. You know what I mean? When the cheese gets binding, all those good little cliches that you want to say, you know, because you've been in those types of games, right? And if you just continually beat the mess out of people and it's not very competitive, you know, when you're challenged, you know, it's going to be tough to have something to pull from, you know, to experience-wise. So our guys, arm-wise, are, you know, they're rested. They're not overworked. You know, we don't have anybody. I think most innings we've thrown is like 37. So it's very spread out over all the guys. We have to execute offensively. We're pretty consistent on the mound. We cover a lot of ground in the outfield. We have really good arms. If we catch routine balls and get people out, then we got a chance to win. But we've got to execute offensively. We got to take walks when we get them. We have a very athletic team, so we need to play small ball when we need to. We need to steal bases. We need to be aggressive on the base pass, and then get some timely hitting. And really, that's the formula for winning playoff baseball. And I think we've done that, successfully over the last, you know. So we started out 0-4, which I've never done before.
No.
That I can remember anyway.
Right, me either.
Yeah, I'm getting old, so, I mean, we may have, but – not to say we've started off every season. I mean, some of the best teams I've ever had, we had a slow start. And then usually the second half of the year, with the way our program's set up, you know, I would want to say, you know, over the last 20 years, our winning percentage is over 800 in the second half of the year, if not more than that, because I think we won. We started 0-4, we're 30-7. So whatever that is, 30-3 in the last 33 games, you know what I mean? So one of those was a tough loss to Calvary. We had a really bad inning in the sixth and, you know, pretty much controlled the game the entire game except for the sixth inning. But there again, you go back to that and you're able to draw upon that, right? You can't have that bad inning. We played great for 14 innings, but that one inning lost us a game, right? So, and you have to win a doubleheader to win a state championship. So, or at least you play them, you know, and you have to be ready to play back-to-back games. So, we had a great game on Monday against Terrell Academy. They're really good.
Yeah, they are.
Austin, Georgia. And they returned everybody, saw some really good arms, several of them, and had a 3-2 game on a walk-off on Monday, which was a lot of fun. FPD. You know, played them twice early. They're really good. Brookstone's really good. Played them twice. Played Pacelli. Yep. So I think, you know, we're tested. You know, it's just, like I said, whether we come out and execute game plan, throw strikes, force contact, make plays.
Selfishly, Coach, because we're going to be there the entire playoff run. I would love nothing more than a Glenwood Lee Scott State Championship game, but you don't know. Clark Prep could upset them. I expect it to be Macon East in the semifinals and Lee Scott in the state championship, but you never know. But that's what I'm hoping for. Coach, thank you so much for joining us. But real quickly, tell everyone how, if they want to get tickets for tomorrow's game, what time it starts, and everything when it comes to quarterfinals against Morgan tomorrow night.
Game starts at 5:00 tomorrow, doubleheader. The if game would be on Friday at 5:00. And the only thing, you show up with $8 cash. That's what we do. Like, we ain't got no Venmos, no credit cards, no nothing like that, no S2 pass, no, you know, no COVID over here, baby. We're going $8 cash, and we'll welcome you with open arms.
Can't wait for it, Coach. You know we're going to be there, looking forward to doing both games against Morgan. Hopefully we won't have a game three. Thank you so much for joining us, Coach, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow for the quarterfinal matchup.
Hey, thanks, guys, for everything you do for this area and sports.
No doubt about it. That is Coach and Athletic Director, Head Baseball Coach and Athletic Director, Tim Fanny from the Glenwood Gators. Richard, let's go ahead and go to break. When we come back, we're dropping our high school baseball ratings. Those Glenwood Gators are pretty high. So are the Calvary Christian Knights. We're going to drop those and more. Thank you again to Steve Smith and Tim Fanning. We'll be back. Learn why we say get ready to smile at Glenn Smith Chevrolet and GMC.